All right, so pretty short story. So at the time, this was someone who I'd recently met. So we just started talking, and she had recently come back from a holiday in Uganda and like one other African country. So she would always bring that up. She would always talk about her time there and how much she missed it, how much she loved it, you know, loved the people, which was kind of cool. But then she started talking about the guys over there. And I think she probably thought that, you know, I would take it as a compliment to us black guys, you know, how she was describing us. But yeah, it was kind of weird. So I got that, you know, that whole vibe of, you know, them white girls who are like, oh, I'm only into black guys, like, you know, I only date black guys. That was the vibe I got. So I just straight up asked her about it. I was like, you know, is that your thing? Is that what you're on? And she was like, oh yeah, I'm really into black guys, you know, black guys are my preference. And she said, and I quote, I'm addicted to black dick, I can't get enough of it. And yeah, at that point I was just like, yeah, we're not doing this, man, I'm out. And yeah, she apologized and everything and was like, you know, oh, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, blah blah blah. But yeah, that was the last conversation we ever had.
You know, it's just ridiculous. Yeah, a lot of it from white guys, they either had it in their heads that I knew how to twerk. So it was either, hey, do you know how to twerk? Or, you know, something about my ass or something about my skin. I don't think being called I don't appreciate being called like a Nubian queen or your chocolate queen. Like, no. Stop it. I don't know when they thought or who told them that, you know, fetishizing my skin color would be a good idea. And unfortunately, it's not just from white guys as well, it's also from people within the same race. I've had a black guy tell me that, well, basically he said that the only thing he liked about me was that I was light-skinned, which isn't something you want to hear when you are into someone.
Alright, so this one is a little bit spicy, but I'm just going to jump into it. I'd been messaging this guy for a while, and at the time I was about 18 or 19, so fresh on the dating scene, super young, and I was quite naive back then. And for context, he was a bit older and was also white. Anyway, I was messaging this guy, and one day the topic turned to sexual fantasies. Of course it did. And yeah, I was quite open with what I liked and stuff, so he took that as a signal to be open too, and really got into what he was into. And the whole time we were talking, I got this sense that he was holding back his main ultimate fantasy. And eventually he got to it and he told me. And he didn't even tell me. He phrased it as a question. And the question was, hey, would it be like problematic if I had this kind of fantasy of you being the slave and me being the master? I don't know, I just wanted to get your thoughts because I think it would be a bit hot, you know. And just even thinking about it, I was just so shocked at the audacity. I knew that he'd been sitting on this waiting to ask a black woman her thoughts on his deep dark fantasy. I would have hoped that that would have gotten me out of sticky situations in the future, but unfortunately not. The fetishization runs deep. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
You're listening to The Subtlety of It. My name is Nina. This podcast is about seemingly small aspects of our identity, which actually affect us in not so subtle ways. They really inform who we are and how we navigate the world.
It's been a minute, okay? I know it's no dates, bish, but It's really been a minute and I've missed the pod, and I'm so happy to be back in your ears. I hope that you are doing well and that you are holding up. I'm excited for this episode. I'm throwing it all the way back. This was recorded quite a while ago, but I think it's more relevant than ever in this era of lockdown romance and wildness on the apps and all of that stuff in between. We are delving right into it. If you love subtleties of fetishization from season 2, from a Japanese and Filipino perspective, looking at dating and romance, then you're going to love this one. So delving into similar topics and some new ones from some Black African perspectives. And people who know me know I'm not really out here on the dating scene, so I've enlisted a few good friends and some familiar voices to those who are avid podcast listeners to share some stories and their amazing insights. And lastly, shout out to the listeners at the beginning who divulge some dating horror stories, some that I think some people may know too well. So good to get some listener voices back this season. It's been a little while since we've had that. Let's get into the conversation. I'm so thrilled to have two of my dear friends with me today, and actually two podcast faves. I get a lot of messages about the both of you in your episode. So you're back by, actually you're black, by popular demand. Okay. Anyway, so if you could please introduce yourself, tell us your name, your age for people who don't know, and also what you do, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. I'm Eamon, 27, and I'm a law grad. Just finished law school. Very exciting.
Love that.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Now the other person in the Zoom chat.
Watch yourself. Anyway, I'm Adj. I'm 27 also. I'm a communications advisor at the moment. And yeah, that's me.
So we're going to really dive into this thing straight away. You know, so I was talking to my sister last week and we're talking about how 2020, obviously we had the pandemonium, the panini is still happening right now. We're talking about dating while black, right? And a large way that many people date right now is on the apps. And I want to get your opinion on and your experiences about these dating apps. Firstly, do you use them? And secondly, if you could speak to like, what has your overall experience been like as a black person on dating apps? Do you want to start, Adriel?
Yeah, first, I just want to put a disclaimer out there. If you know my family and you hear this episode, no, you don't. You don't know me. You know who I am. I'm someone you've never met before.
Retweet.
Yeah. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, no snitches, please.
I can't.
It's a time. Like, it's literally the Wild West. If you just asked me to talk about like crazy stories, I could talk to you for hours about them. And I wish they never existed. I wish
wow.
I didn't have to be on them.
Why should dating apps not exist?
Okay. So I tend to speak in like hyperbole a lot, but I think not that they shouldn't exist, but I just think that the way that they operate is really awful. Mm-hmm. When you think about the algorithms and how they know exactly who you might be interested in and who might be interested in you, and they put that behind paywalls. The whole idea behind dating apps is supposed to make it easier to meet people that are interested in finding whatever it is, whether that's friendship, love, you know, short-term ting, whatever it is. But they're actually monetizing that and making it really hard for the people who want to find something genuine and lasting a lot more difficult. And I think a lot of them are like, if we're going to go for it, I know that this is where the conversation is leading. They replicate racist systems and, you know, really gross kind of racial ideas of who a person is and things like that. Like the fact that you can filter someone for free on Hinge by race, but for things like political alignment or whatever it is and things like that, things that, you know, does somebody want children? Does somebody not want children? You can't filter by those categories unless you pay money. It's sort of like you can say, no black people, no Asian people, whatever you want. And that's for free. You can do that for free rather than kind of perhaps using that as a platform to double down and allow people to rethink their racial prejudices and things like that. Though you could argue that dating apps are not the place to do that entirely, but.
Well, okay, firstly, with economic analysis and the paywalls, my mind didn't even go there. That's a point. And yeah, I definitely want to come back to that ethnic filtering and racial filtering on apps, because that is super interesting. I want to see, Eamon, like, yeah, firstly, have you before used these apps? And yeah, I mean, what is your general experience on them being like?
Yeah, I have used them fairly intermittently, sort of like a love-hate relationship. There are times and, you know, you have the capacity and desire to see what's out there in the world. And so the apps are a good way to connect with people, because that's where a lot of people are dating now. So, I mean, it's hard to meet someone at a bar and just chit chat, particularly during a pandemonium. But yeah, at times it's like, nah, fuck this, for a lot of the reasons that Arj has already sort of touched upon. It is rife with the casual and not so casual racism. What is casual racism? Racism is racism. It's not pretend, you know what I mean? I hear offering qualifications and like, oh, this is the one that you get, you know, you wear with when you're wearing jeans and a top. Like, no, it's all racism.
Yeah, literally.
Do you know? But I think what's interesting is that it's on Front Street. You immediately engage with, because it's on someone's profile that says no blacks, no Asians, no this, no that. In a way in which maybe if you were moving through spaces in person, someone would filter you out by just moving to the other side of the bar and just not chatting to you. And so you're none the wiser. You're still getting your vodka cranberry, you know, minding your business, and no one's getting in your way. Whereas here it presents itself without them even necessarily engaging with you directly. You're just scrolling and then seeing the no blacks, no this, no that. And that has an impact on your psyche, that there's no way in which seeing those messages isn't going to be harmful. Sure, you can try and have a tough skin and that kind of stuff, but the idea that you need to be resilient rather than just everyone who has those sorts of views needs to, you know, take a sit back, maybe log off from the applications for a few days and really ponder on what it is they're putting out to the world. It can be sticky.
I think it's quite interesting that you say, like, people are putting it out there so boldly. Like, I kind of like a racist that says it with chest. Like, I don't want to have to, like, figure out by, you know, going through your profile, moderate, conservative, and just being like, what's the coded language for, like, I'm actually just a racist. Like, it's one of those things that's very confronting and awful to see, but it's also kind of like a filtering process that they're doing for themselves. It's sort of like, okay, cool, I don't have to mind you. But yeah, like the residual ickiness of it all, when you're sort of like, obviously if you meet someone out, you never really know exactly where they sit, but I don't know, I can't explain it. It's just sort of like, do you want the truth now or later?
Look, I think that's two sides of the same coin in many ways, because you're right. There's an absolute convenience in being able to swerve people who move mad. There is a convenience when people are really direct about their foolishness, because you're like, it's excellent, I don't have to entertain that at all. But on the other side, simply those statements of know this, know that, and going to have an impact, particularly when, like, so much of dating is learning about yourself and how you fit into the world too, speaking specifically to the experience as a gay black man. When you're engaging with these applications, often it's the way in which you come to understand, okay, well, the sex ed I got at school was super hetero, so actually the way I'm going to fumble through this is by engaging with other people in the community. The application's often an easy way to do it, particularly if you're still in the closet or you're on the down low, and so you can't actually be up at the pubs and clubs on a Saturday night in Fitzroy with a, you know, a rainbow band on your hair. Like, you need to be low-key about it. So the applications are a pathway to do so. And so when you're trying to work out who you are and then you're seeing that messaging, it'll impact upon your sort of self-value and self-worth and how you fit into this funky world.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Eamon. And I definitely think that, like, that's the access that they have to community, to people, to sex, to, like, exploration, to all of these things, right? And then you go on there and you see no black people, etc. That's so shit. Like, how are you supposed to then process not only sexuality, but then also the fact that your own community doesn't even want you anyway?
Correct. And it's rife. Like, it isn't just one or two applications. It's like, you'll see it a lot. And because you see it a lot, then you're like, well, maybe I can't be gay and black. Maybe that's what the message is from the community in this particular space. And so, yeah, it can cut deep. But I think it takes a bit of unlearning to, because we're all socialized into these things. Even as black people, we are too socialized into a world that prioritizes and gives extra kudos to whiteness. And so when you're working out if you're queer, can you be queer? Can you be queer and black, that intersection? It's unsurprising that those things all sort of meld together and suddenly you're really pondering upon, can you truly exist at that intersection? That takes some time and often meeting other people who've gone through that experience or something similar to appreciate that you can.
Wow, that's huge. As you're talking about how like people can be, I guess, a bit more low key on the apps and like you're racist, essentially with their chest, right? I feel as if comments like, you know, no black people or no Asian people, extremely racist, horrible bios. Yeah, I personally, in my very limited experience on the apps for market research purposes only, I don't be seeing that, but I've seen some Twitter pages dedicated to just exposing the violence on Grindr and how ableist, fatphobic, etc. it is. Yeah. Can you speak to that in any way?
Possibly. I mean, I'll be frank, I've not tried the straight apps or, you know, set the setting to let me see women, because that's not about me. So I'm not sure if I'm well placed to offer a comparison, but I do think from the anecdotes that I hear from my straight friends, it doesn't seem like it comes up quite as often, although it may manifest in other ways, you know, fetishization and that kind of stuff. I think there's plenty of research that can be done, and a matter of factly has been done, that speaks to the fact that the desire to recreate hierarchies in other ways, to put a band-aid over the fact that you're otherwise maybe seen as other by the world, if you grew up in, you know, an environment that isn't particularly inclusive for people who are same-sex attracted and the like, or really anywhere on sort of that sort of broad umbrella of queerness. There's something to be said that even on a subconscious level, your desire to, I don't know, find a foothold somewhere on the hierarchy that's a little bit higher. So yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that it may manifest in a particularly direct way in applications that queer folk use.
What I think is wild is that a lot of people who have that in their bios would also not say that they're racist. They'd be like, you know, it's just a preference thing. Like, you know, it's just that these people are not my type, blah, 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 but they'll post a black square. And it's just like, okay, that's where your kind of activism stops, where it kind of hurts your ego in thinking that, you know, you're anything but the, you know, ally that you claim to be. I think, yeah, if people were willing to go a little bit beyond the performative and kind of really interrogate where these preferences come from, yeah, you'd find people would be like, oh, okay, maybe I am that way.
Two things on that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's an interesting one because sometimes when I have these conversations, I get a little bit nervous about the idea that we then, I don't know, as a gay black man who says, oh, I find it hard on the apps because there's this wild stuff on the on their profiles that, you know, therefore I am, you know, single and lonely and not enjoying. Don't get it twisted. Your boy has options. Your boy has options. I am screening you out for your bullshit, and I'm sorry you're missing out on this sauce. I'm so sorry.
Wow, say that.
That's your loss, not mine. Point one. Point two, I think it's also interesting to think about, and, you know, sort of pivoting back to a point that Arj made earlier around the ability to filter based upon race and that kind of stuff. I know that one of the big applications, Grindr, had, I think, removed the ability to screen out based upon race because people had given them a lot of heat on it. And I was actually a bit conflicted about that because I recall finding, and I think many people have spoken to this, is the ability to filter as a person of color, to find other people of color for that little bit of extra safety. Yikes, that's a thing. That is a real thing. And it was actually almost sad to see that go, because particularly in an environment like, you know, city that we live in now, which is predominantly white, there isn't a huge black African community. And so there, you know, when you then apply the extra filters of queer and black African, it's hard to find. So it's actually convenient, but then you can put on the filter and then go, cool, I found Jamal, who lives 42K south of, you know, where my area is. That's fine. We'll catch up and have a coffee in the city. We'll find a mutual. Great, yeah? But like, without that, you're really scrolling for days or paying to continue to keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Because it stops at a certain point unless you drop, you know, $2.50 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I think it's great that we can find ways to kind of navigate those things safely and kind of find what works for us, and taking what is predominantly used as a tool to marginalise us, but finding, you know, something that we can benefit from in that is really great.
So many great points with both of you. And I just want to circle back quickly to what Eamon said. I think it's a good background to have in this. You're right, people talk about, especially black people, talking about struggling to find dating and like how we often are, you know, at the bottom of the dating totem pole. People think that it means that A, we're just seeking anybody, or B, we don't know that we are fine and we have source, And just know that we all know that, okay? And I think secondly, it makes me think about like who's on these dating apps, right? I'm speaking from my limited experience. It was overwhelmingly white. I mean, in your experiences, have you encountered many Black people even on these apps, especially then compounding with, you know, being queer and compounding with all these other intersections?
As sad as it is to say, like, even though I'm talking about like how like they're so whitewashed and things like that, it really does replicate the reality that I live in, like where I grew up as a child, not having like heaps and heaps of Black people around me, unless they were like my family, friends, and like my immediate family, things like that. Going to school, being like the only Black girl in my high school, one of few in my primary school, things like that. Like it really does replicate the world that I'm like, I'm not ashamed that I'm comfortable in it, but it's just sort of like, I'm too accustomed to this, like being the only Black person in lots of white spaces. And I think that's something that I'm still really trying to figure out what that means and how I see who I want to be. And like you said before, Eamon, like dating is a space to learn about yourself. Sometimes I'm like, oh, what am I learning about myself on this app? And do I like it? And how do I change that? And so I think just things like unpacking the fact like I've never dated a Black man, like even though I've been interested in, like I've never dated someone of my own race in a serious way.
But I get it, right? It's like, it may have a lot to do with, you know, internalized racism because we're socialized into the same world. And so, you know, seeking validation from people who are of a different race who then engage with you on these applications can be a little boost to your ego. And like, if someone who's Black engages with you on one of these apps might be like, well, I don't know. It's definitely a journey that I went through, particularly when I was younger and like desperate to be mediocre and the same. I was like,
You could never be mediocre. Never.
Bless you, real one. But there was definitely a time when I was, you know, in my teens and I wasn't dating anyone at that point anyway. I was far too busy working out who I was and what I was into. But there was definitely a point where I used to spout off some bullshit, probably for seeking validation from the white folk around me, being like, yeah, I don't know if I would ever date anyone darker than me and that kind of stuff. And I really thought that I was like saying something. You know, when you really, I thought I made points by saying that, aligning myself with the people around me and the environment that I'm moving through. And then it took me a bit of time to be like, that's some bullshit. That's some bullshit. And actually, you shouldn't subject anyone else to that bullshit. So you need to take your ass off these applications for at least a good solid 10, 12 months. Do the soul searching, address your business, and then come back with, you know, a renewed sort of lens to these sorts of questions.
Yeah, I love that self-awareness and that honesty, Eamon. The internalized anti-Blackness point and how it manifests in dating, we're definitely going to be exploring that. But I want to add, like, how come you think you haven't dated any Black men before?
Wow, you're really just out here throwing the hard questions. Damn.
You know me.
Really, you're just trying to expose me. Like, is it, are you even going to air this podcast or are you just going to use it to blackmail me? I don't know. No, that's a great question. I think that's something that I'm kind of really scared to kind of have a really deep think about. Like, I've thought about in the past of people we've had like romantic feelings for who are like, you know, other Ghanaian people and things like that, that I've been like, okay, this, I could see this going somewhere, you know. Ultimately, it's always ended up in this like weird rejection and I'm like, or they say some, like, you know, you get the kind of anti-Black comments from people who look exactly the same as you. It's like, my guy, like, how are you going to be calling me dark skin when we're literally the same color? You know, like,
yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know, getting comments like, you're so white, or you're a coconut, and, you know, you're not really Black, and this, that, and the other. And it's sort of like, well, I am Black. I just want to live my life as who I am. And if someone likes me, it'll be for who I'm presenting now. And I like to think that that's the authentic version of myself, who's a little bit like quirky and, you know, I'm who I am. Just, I'm sort of like, well, it is what it is, but I'm also not sure if I'm okay with that. Like, I think it's a mixed bag of emotions there, and I'm like, I don't know how to untangle this and think about it. And like, I could say that I've never really met with a Black person, like a male, that I'm interested in dating. But then I'm like, but why is that? Is it just because I just see them as a friend? I don't know. I don't know what it is. And I hate that I don't have an answer. And
No. You don't need an answer. I think that working through it is an answer. That is you really unpacking it. I think I love how you talked about like how you've grown up and how that's informed a lot and how you're not sure if you're personally happy with your circumstance, essentially. The flip side of it is, are they even checking for you, these black men? I think that is a whole other conversation. And I'm finna say it because, especially like we talk about colorism, we talk about being a dark-skinned black woman. And again, going back to Eamon's point about the internalized racism and anti-blackness and how we are all conditioned that way, right? And unless you're actively trying to unlearn it, then you're going to be lost in the sauce. I think there is another conversation about whether or not black men want to partner dark-skinned black women. Yeah, those are just my additional thoughts on that one. I think that's a huge, huge issue.
Yeah. I also, I don't know. I think sometimes the way I act, like some people don't like people like you act too white. I'm like, I don't get that. I'm like, I don't like this.
How do you think that they envision black people to act though? Like what is a black
person? That's a great question. If somebody could answer that, please respond in the comments below.
What do you think, Eamon? Do you think that there's a certain idea of how black people should be acting, I guess, generally and also like in a romantic sense?
Possibly. I actually think that it's something I've come across as well. And I think it has a lot to do with, well, one, and I think I was already touched upon it, the environments we grew up in, but also the spaces we move through now in a contemporary sense. Like we're both, you know, young professionals in corporate or corporate adjacent kind of environments. They are, you know, majority white for the most part. And, you know, there's almost a conditioning that occurs as, you know, from university through to those sorts of environments where you carry yourself in a particular way and you speak in a particular way and you code switch and that kind of stuff. And so I do think that for some people who maybe aren't moving through those same types of environments from our diaspora, they can see that as like, well, are you really black or are you not, you know, you're not manifesting the same sort of practices and cultural traits, which seems sort of archaic in some sense, but I almost mean the ones that manifest in within the diaspora in our immediate experience of the kind of music you listen to and the clubs that you go to and the things you do on the weekend and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it can be read in a way that is racialized as well from within our own diaspora. So I only come across once or twice. For the most part, I mean, I have dated people or gone on dates with, and I think there's a distinction between dating and going on dates. We'll get to that later. But I have gone on dates with people who are also black, and it's an interesting experience because, you know, I myself am on my own journey of finding myself and learning about myself, and I don't think there's ever an end date to that. That's something that's always ongoing. But then they were doing that too, and often the barrier that existed was that we were at different stages of that journey. So I might be more willing to be capital B black in particular moments, and they weren't. And that's not to suggest that they that therefore were you know, leaning into some type of you know, ideal of whiteness or anything like that. But they were just on their journey of unpicking. But I think it's very legitimate to be like, that's really lovely, I'm out, deuces, like it's not for me, because it's not every day you need to be doing you know, diversity and inclusion consulting within your relationship, even for people of color.
Okay. But even then, like, is that the only common denominator that you need to have? Like, just it's like these two people together because they're both black. Like, I've had friends try to set me up or mention that I might be interested in someone, and then they kind of tell me all this stuff about this person that I'm like, oh, why would you think I'd be into that person? And then I see a photo of them or I meet them in real life and I'm like, oh, okay, all makes sense. And like, it's just like another brown person. And you're just kind of like, really? Like, you know who I am. How did you think that this was going to be, like, we were going to be compatible? Like, is it just sort of like, oh, let me forget everything else about you and, you know, who you are and like reduce you down to the fact that, you know, you two are both black, therefore you will have a sustainable relationship. You can build common interests, but if you only have one thing to start with, I don't think that's really the basis for any sort of like meaningful relationship.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point.
I
really agree with that point. And I think that's often the outcome of these kind of conversations I've noticed, is like, so we're saying that there is a lot of issues with dating interracially, or, you know, experiences when you're dating people who aren't from a similar background to you. Therefore, the outcome is you must date only people of your own race. And it's like, well, actually, the madness can exist everywhere. The idea is to unpick all of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think even beyond like just like apps, like what I'm seeing a lot now is people like finding alternative ways of meeting people, like using the Twitter DMs or Instagram or TikTok and things like that. Like, you know, I think everybody knows about my like obsession with TikTok. I think it's the most incredible thing ever. Vine ended too soon, and I'll take any opportunity to say I miss Vine. So this is me saying it now. I miss Vine, TM. And just like seeing people on there and just kind of being surprised in the ways that people can exist as who they are. And it's not like, I think that's one of the things. And somebody said something really interesting on Twitter. It was like 8 billion people in the world, and you think your soulmate lives 2 minutes away from you.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot in that statement. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a bit funny, but also like thinking about it, the fact that you think, you know, there are so many people in the world, filtering age, you know, all of that sort of stuff. The chances that your person is like 5 minutes down the road, like that's pretty, like, I don't know math, but like, so if anyone wants to fact check me, they can, but I'd say that, like, you know, maybe you have to go beyond that, and that's how you can find people who you can, I guess, have some sort of connection with.
Yeah.
What Ad's saying is she wants someone to buy her a direct ticket to London so she can do up enjoyment.
Honestly, like, I'm just trying to get flued out. That's
flued out. Can I also just say something, and you don't have to put this in, but this made me think of it just now, and I really want to get this off my chest. A lot of the time people say that my standards are too high, and I'm very confused about that. I just want somebody who has a bed frame and a job.
The bed frame killed me.
Not the bed frame.
Like, how is that? How are those standards too high? You know, I can ask for someone that's ambitious and is interesting and all that sort of stuff. Like, I'm not settling for anything. Like, I don't think this, you know, idea of you need to be just okay with the okay is good. I'm not about that. I'm not asking for someone who has a Tesla, a yacht, and a mansion. That would be great. But I'm asking about like simple things. Who you are? Are you kind? Are you funny? Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest. Like, don't tell me to lower my standards.
No.
I want more for my friends. Sometimes, like, no, not really so much now, but, like, there have been times where I'm just like, how are you going to let a guy like this play you? Like, how? Yes. Anyway, we all do it. We've all been
there.
But,
like, do people tell you that your standards are too high? And, like, who are the people telling you that?
Yeah, my friends have told me that. And I'm sort of like... Oh. And this is a whole other conversation, and I'm constantly kind of trying to understand what the impetus behind those sorts of words are, or if, firstly, we all go on our journey of like self-worth and loving ourselves. And I think dating as a Black woman in Melbourne, where people have just like started to realize that, you know, racism is a thing, and that, you know, Black women are women and you can love whoever you want. And they're kind of on this like, you know, journey of like,
I kissed a Black woman, so now I am an anti-racist. Like,
there's all that sort of stuff, and having to, you know, navigate whether people are being genuine and that sort of thing. I think there's so much more that comes with dating. Like, even if someone says that they're interested in you, you kind of question why they are. Is it because of the way that you look and like your physical traits that, you know, you have naturally occurring are currently, you know, in style for women's bodies and that sort of thing? Is it like, is this a fetishization thing? Mm-hmm. But then, when I'm really like, this is really hard to say, but I think it really needs to be said. Sometimes I feel when people say stuff to me about people that I'm interested in, like I need to maybe lower my standards a bit. Sometimes I'm like, I know you don't mean it in a racialized way, but it feels like you're saying, maybe what you want is a little bit too high for who you are. That's how I hear it. And I'm not saying that anybody is saying that, you know, intentionally. Perhaps in the past that has happened, where people, I've had friends that I've kind of actively said, actually, you know what, I don't think we can be friends because the way that you treat me, specifically, like, I mean, female competition and all that sort of stuff, but specifically in the ways that they've spoken about my romantic interests and how, you know, I need to kind of just stay in my lane and pipe down a bit. I'm like, okay, that's definitely you saying that as a Black woman, like, not the one in this situation, and that this person is, you know, not interested in you because of whatever reason they come up with. It just feels a little bit racially motivated, and this has happened a lot in the past, and thank God I've grown up and kind of figured out what my value is. But that is a really hard thing to navigate as well. Like, it's racism in dating isn't only coming from you and the person that you're trying to be with. It's their extended parts as well, like their family and friends and, you know, the people that they associate with. And it's sort of like, well, you're not everyone is in part of your relationship, but also I think you have to think about the extended circles and how they also have a role to play in the relationship that you're in.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people are really obsessed with the idea of being in a relationship and finding love, and whether, like, maybe lowering your standards is the way to get that. It's like, if you want to be in a relationship, maybe you should just compromise on a couple of the things that you are interested in so that you can find someone and make yourself happy that way, because you're not alone. And I'm just not happy with that. I don't want to live my life ever thinking that I've settled for anything less than exactly what it is that I want. So I don't think the intent is always racialized. I think in some ways people are just so eager to be in a relationship because, you know, across a lot of societies and like what we're told is important and valuable is the fact that you're loved. Whether you're in a really shit relationship or a really good one doesn't matter, as long as you have someone. Yeah. And I think that is, you know, really telling of our generation and how we see, like, we grew up on all, like, the, you know, fantastical love stories, and, you know, we read all the literature and about, you know, this, the great loves and how, you know, people are supposed to make all these romantic sweeping gestures. And I think that forgotten in all of that was, you know, the hard work and just living through, like, so many major political events throughout our lifetime, and then being stuck inside our houses for years also, like, compounded those feelings of, like, will this ever happen for me? And if it doesn't, but how do I make these concessions so that I can get what it is that I want?
I think there's also a gendered aspect to that as well, in terms of, as a woman, not just a Black woman, but as also just a woman more generally, in terms of, you know, men, I guess it being more normalized for men being able to say what they want and what kind of woman they're looking for. And because I guess we're conditioned as women to seek that male validation, that relationship more so than men, patriarchy, etc. I'm wondering, Eamon, yeah, is that something that you've encountered in terms of people saying your standards are too high? And I guess also because you're both reaching the later half of your 20s. I mean,
rah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, and people
that was a stray bullet for no reason, you know.
Not me.
She said, when will you marry?
No, where will you marry? People really are consumed with, like Adja was saying. How do you feel about, like, standard in that conversation?
Yeah, I think there's value in interrogating the sort of criteria that inform what you're willing to indulge, date, who you're willing to date, those sorts of things, because some of it can be problematic and maybe a bit trivial, and others are super fundamental and important. Something that I've come to ask fairly early on, if I am going on dates with someone with the potential that it might sort of, you know, escalate to dating, different stages, then I have to have usually a fairly direct conversation around how will you respond when someone moves mad and acts racist towards me? Yeah. And you're in proximity of that. What are you going to do? Because it's happened to me in the past. And so after that experience, like, that's a really important thing for me. And, like, that's something I refuse to compromise on. Like, yeah. And, you know, I've had answers at times where it's like, yeah, you know, I think I'd be okay. And, you know, this is my first time dating someone Black. So, you know, maybe I'm still, you know, still learning on the job or whatever. And I'm like, sorry, I'm not taking any trainees. You need to know, you need to be resolute in, okay, when, if this situation plays out, I'm going to have Eamon's back. And it might be one of your people who's coming with the madness. So what's going to happen then?
That part. Okay, firstly, can you please explain the difference between dates and dating? And then secondly, can you tell us how early on you're asking that question and sort of how you bring it up?
Yeah, so, well, the difference between dates and dating in my mind is really just a reflection of my perhaps, you know, mild emotional unavailability and refusal to be seen as tied to someone without vigorous checking. And so if it's the dates phase, you're still getting to know them. Who are you? What's your story? What are your, do's and don'ts? And more fundamentally, do I see possible alignment and the ability for this to develop into something? Yeah. And then I sort of see dating as something different, and then dating existing before a relationship. Yeah. I think I'm also just fiercely independent, and the idea that I, you know, I'm going to quickly dive into something is a myth for me. So I like to drink it. So if you're ever going to end up going on dates with me, please appreciate I am a slow burn.
No, a worthwhile one for sure. And what about how you bring up the questions? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, often when, at least from my experience, when you've gone on a few dates with someone, at a certain point, there is a conversation about previous experiences, you know, previous relationships. Have you dated before? When was your last relationship? Blah, 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 blah. And in that conversation, I'll usually just drop the anecdote of what happened, you know, last time where there was a proper madness. And maybe to illustrate the point, I'll share the anecdote. And then I'm just going to link this to my Tinder profile moving forward so that we can pre-screen before they even chat to me. So I was dating, I think it's fair to say, we'd gone beyond the date stage, dating someone who was white. He was a good person and seemed to have his wits about him. And so we'd talked about race and how race plays into relationships and the things we might experience, but perhaps not so directly and not as directly as I do now. He invited me out to hang out with some of his friends. It was sort of I think it was around Christmas time or something. So I walked into the bar. They had been there for maybe an hour or two before I arrived. And within about 40, 45 seconds of me walking in, one of his friends walked over and made some small talk and pretty quickly in the conversation says, yeah, when you walked in, I thought, who is that nigger with the nice glasses? And what's wild is I think my guy really thought that it was like a low-key compliment, being like, oh, I really like your translucent frames. With the E-R. You know when you...
Hard R.
Didn't even go for the A-A-V-E soften. Like, just went in with a hard R. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something and I think just... Brave. Very brave. And I think what was interesting, obviously it was an unpleasant experience, but what I found in that circumstance was that, you know, I was new to this environment. It was still relatively new with the person that I was dating. And so while my usual response would be to shoot with both barrels, because I'm not exactly a shrinking violet, I found myself sort of kind of going, oh, what do you mean? And then, you know, kind of playing soft because I wanted to impress this person that I was dating and didn't want to make a scene within 45 seconds of arriving. But it's like, hold on, the scene was brought to me. I was not a willing participant in this at all. And the reality is that like these sorts of things, maybe not with the nigger with the ER, but these things happen frequently when, at least when I've found I'm dating interracially. And so it's now become a conversation. And to answer your earlier question, how do I raise it? Well, often in those conversations around previous relationships, I will share that anecdote. And they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. That's crazy. He didn't. And I was like, cool, but what are you going to do when that happens?
Boom.
Because it will happen and you won't always be there to kind of see their reaction. I find that it shouldn't be about me. Like the fact that you are taking a stand on these things shouldn't be because of the simple fact that we're in a relationship or you're interested in me. It should go beyond that to even the extent of like if it happened to another person and you observed that, would you say something in their defense and not invoke the fact that you have a black partner in your rationale for doing so, because we can all agree that racism is bad, right? But, you know, when you have to talk about your proximity to a person of color or a black person, that to me is uncomfortable that you use that as your coverall instead of just kind of being like, I fundamentally do not agree with racism. And so for that reason, I'm going to go off and, you know, help whoever's needs help. That's a whole other part of it because people don't recognize that it goes beyond them. It's that relationship is like a microcosm of the rest of the world. And how we work together is, unless you know we're really out here doing the most and being like a utopian couple, there are going to be elements of our like relationship that mirror the rest of the world, which is unfortunate. But you know, even just thinking about people's family members and the things that they might say, it's quite uncomfortable.
I want to go into that. Firstly, thanks both for sharing those stories because it'd be exhausting. So I really appreciate it. Tying into what Adja was saying, like the thing is you choose your friends, yeah? I'm just wondering how your experiences have been like with partners, perhaps interracially, their friends. And if you think it's different to family, because obviously family is a whole entire other conversation. Like your mom's your mom, okay? Your mom really be your mom. And so that's a very different kind of obligation to that relationship. So yeah, I'm wondering if you could speak to sort of what you think about people having racist friends, how that affects your relationship. And then secondly, if it differs to family members who are racist.
I think it's sticky. And I am slightly loath to expect a clearance sale on Friends when the black partner comes through, that they sort of get rid of those friends, because I think there's a role that people have to play in sort of keeping their friends and family, that's sort of their chosen sort of world, accountable. I mean, the question is, how much should we as black people have to put up with that? And I think the answer is none. But yeah, I think it's an interesting one. And I also think it is different to family, because you're right, families are not people that you choose to have in your life. And hopefully for most people, that's a positive experience. For many, it is a more complicated picture. I get that. But I think in both scenarios, a lot of it comes down to, well, then how is the person that you're in a relationship going to manage that situation? Because they will have, I think, a significant amount of control around the environments that you both move through, and also the relative proximity that those people with bad vibes will have to you and your relationship. Yeah. So if, you know, you still need to take care of, you know, mum and make sure that she's good, cool. But if she's on some bad vibes, then I'm not sure that mum should be coming over to our house. And there's no amount of, yeah, but she's my mum that's going to run for me. Because what happens if we have children? Is she going to be bad vibes to my mixed race kid? Like, nah, it's not going to run. There's no way I'm letting that. Being patient with that in my immediate orbit, but how you choose to deal with that in your situation, go do that over there.
That's really cool. Yeah.
I'm not really into the idea of pandering to racists. Like, if you don't like me because of the fact that I'm black and you're willing to overlook everything else about me, I don't have to be your friend. Like, when you go low, I go even lower. Like, I don't need to be the bigger person. You need to, like, grow up.
Better person.
It's really hard because it's like, you know, when you love someone, like, I don't think you should be that one to be asked to bend over backwards. If you were dating someone and their mum was always like, they're so ugly and they also, I don't know, smell funny. I don't know, I'm trying to think of something offensive. You wouldn't accept that. You wouldn't be like, oh, you know, she's from a different generation and blah, blah, blah. Some things are just be like, okay, mum, I love you, but I don't love the way you're behaving, and you need to figure that out. Like, you just need to kind of work on yourself. You're an adult. What you're not going to do is come to me and tell me that I need to turn down my blackness. No, I'm not into skin bleaching. Like, none of that's going to work. Like, that's saying, like, none of me is wrong. What is wrong is somebody else's behavior. And I think if somebody's has the audacity to come to you and ask you to kind of change who you fundamentally are, then they're the one with the problem and not you.
All of that. So, so true. And I want to segue into, like, just get into family in a bit more detail. So many references here, but I think I talked to Eamon about this briefly, but you know, Ashley Graham, the supermodel, the worldwide supermodel, Ashley Graham, she is married to a black man. And there was an article in Grazia, and it referenced in her book, she spoke about bringing home her partner to her family in Nebraska, which I assume is a pretty, like, middle of nowhere place in the US. No shame to be listening.
Watch people come to your comments and then be like, Nebraska is a thriving metropolis.
Yeah, we have a third best economy in the state. Like,
very well, it could be. Isn't like Omaha the capital? Anyway, someplace in Nebraska. And it's funny because she was talking about how she was shookington that her grandparents were racist. And actually, I'm going to quote her from this Grazia article. She said, "Now, I should probably mention that Justin is black, and I didn't grow up around many black people. I had never seen my loving, hardworking, and wonderful grandma be so hurtful and so racist." And I think those two kind of quotes made me think about two things. One, if a partner is taking you home to their family, if they should tell their family that you are black, number one. And two, why white people seem to be very surprised that their family may be racist. I want to get your opinion on both of those things, starting with the first one. I don't know if you've had the experience of going to a partner's family home who is white or a different race. How would you feel if they didn't tell their family that you're black?
That can't run.
I'm just thinking back. Wow. Okay, so we all know that my government name is Jeanette, right? And so I think there was one time I met a partner's parents, and I for sure just got the vibe that they just didn't say anything and they're like, we're just going to roll with this. I've told my parents about this, Jeanette, blah, blah, blah. Mm. I walk into the house, just the stun. It was like,
hello, you're Jeanette?
And I was like, yes. It was the most uncomfortable vibe. It did not go anywhere after that. I think there was a lot of who is this black woman in my home type situation. I was getting some awkward vibes. And then on the flip side, I got, oh, this is Jeanette. She's from Ghana. And it was like, that was the big thing. I was like, well, I grew up in Sydney, but yes, like I am from Ghana, but like that was the headline. Like, I feel like he was like, yeah. And my sister was telling me that the capital city of Ghana is Accra. I was like, I'm so embarrassed for falling into this. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just haven't answered the question, but like for them, that was a really big deal. Like, I remember one time I was at their house. It was like a Tuesday afternoon and there was a person there to fix the fridge. And his dad was like, this is Jeanette. And I shook this fridge man's hand and I walked away and I was like, who was that? Like, is he like a family friend? And he was just like, no, I've never met him in my life. It's just a tradie that's here to fix the fridge. And like, just the way that it was almost like, you know, you need to know that this person is not like a stranger in our home. We know this black woman. She is part of the family. It was just the most awkward vibes. I was like, you're doing much too much right now for my liking. So I don't know. I don't know if I prefer it one way or the other, but I think it's just kind of like, if you've said to someone like this, I'm bringing someone home that I'm really interested in and this is our relationship, whatever, like, I don't see why you have to mention who they are. And if I feel like in some ways, if you have to be like, make a concerted effort to be like, this person is X, Y, and Z, then you know that somebody's going to move mad. And that's, you know, I don't know. I can't.
Mm. Yeah. But what if it's the first time they've dated a black person or anybody that's not from their race? Would that change things for you?
Most of the time, in some ways it is, unless they've got like a fetish and like you can kind of sniff those people out from the get-go.
We have to go back to that for sure.
They always tell them themselves.
Yeah. What about you, Amy?
Literally.
So I do think that if I was dating someone who isn't from the same race as me and we're reaching a stage where we're doing family meetups, show them my WhatsApp picture. I can't, no. And the problem is my name is spelt, you know, in English from an Arabic translation, but there's also like an Irish Eamon too. So like, it's definitely times people are surprised. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll talk to me on the phone and think I'm, you know, Irish. And then when they eventually meet me in person, they'll be like,
oh, is it?
So no, I need you to show them my WhatsApp photo. You can even do a scroll through my Instagram if you want. I have great photos on there, a few good, you know, profile shots. And make sure that they are aware. And you don't have to make a big deal out of it. But, like, I do think that it needs to be acknowledged because it is uncomfortable when you walk into a room and everyone starts acting brand new. Like, oh, it's uncomfortable. And I refuse to lean into that.
I really like the way, I think I took the question in a completely different way. And I think the way that you said it is probably what, like, I wouldn't think of that, like showing someone photos being, oh, look at this photo of us together, using that as like a soft and like entrance, or just kind of like thinking about what you would do with any other person, right? Like, even if you weren't dating interracially for the first time or whatever, what you would do is like, you might be like, oh, like, let me show you this photo of when we went here the other day. What my mind went to was like actually having this big to-do about being like, hi, everybody, I need to tell you that the person that I'm seeing, that's where my mind went. But like, I think it's kind of funny that I went to this big, you know, tell-all expose kind of thing rather than it just kind of being a regular thing, like just being like, oh, like, there's this person, like, I want you to meet her or whoever they are. It doesn't have to be any kind of big important thing. And I think that's where for me the delineation would come from. Like, if you think that you can't introduce me as you normally would, going through all the, you know, like, here's a photo, whatever, but you have to kind of make this really big statement about it and justify who I am and why it's okay and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. If you really think that you can't do things the way that you would do for anyone else, then there's an issue.
Yeah.
And I also think that, I mean, if you go through that process of, you know, showing the photo or set of photos or whatever, to your family before they meet someone you're dating, hopefully there's an opportunity for them to expose their madness early. Like if you genuinely were surprised because, and look, I get it, some parents will be like, oh, we're all for equality. And some people generally will be like, I'm all for equality, whatever, except when they're dating my daughter or son or whatever. Or child. And so if hopefully that's the point at which they expose their madness when I'm not in the room, when I'm safely over at work, typing away, drinking my soy latte, enjoying my life. And you can have that opportunity to have that conversation about how you're going to deal with that without me there.
I was going to say, I love both of your analysis of that. I think for me as well, like what comes to mind is they better know I'm black. What? Put me in the Louvre, like find a way to get me. I should be, my photo should be everywhere. And I think it ties into a little bit of what Eamon was saying about, in some ways, safety. I'm not even just like physical safety, because people are really wild in this world. And I don't want to go in assuming the worst of people, but also like your emotional safety, whether it be those snide comments and like people looking at you like you're dirty, etc. That can really weigh at people emotionally. And like Aj was saying, I don't think anyone has to go through that. That is extremely wild. But I want to go back to the grandparent point, because it ties into Miss Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. I know, it's a hard one.
My favorite subject.
You know, we're going to get into some royal tea right now. And I don't know if people in listening watch the Oprah interview.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
Or have just been watching it through Twitter, essentially. Whatever you did, hopefully you're aware about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And would you say they've been disowned by the royal family? I don't know if that's an accurate statement.
I would like to say that they had like their own agency in leaving the royal family. Like they made that decision, you know, on their own accord, whether, you know, it's kind of like quitting a job before you can get fired.
That's such a good point. But there's been so much dialogue on Twitter, especially about, you know, obviously Meghan identifies as biracial and she's also very, very light skinned. So there's obviously the optics of like colorism within that, but she still has a black mom. She still faces anti-blackness. And that has been a huge core of all of this royal debacle, and the British press has been absolutely mad. I remember I texted you both that Twitter thread. It is by at Hello Kelechi on Twitter, and she said, and it's got 117K likes, and it says, the energy required to marry into a white family, even if your partner individually is fantastic. Is it worth it? And this is something that goes through a lot of people's minds, and not just black people, people from other races, etc. And I would love to get your point of view, because obviously some people aren't their family. They're not their parents, right? They're their own people too. If you're in that position, not saying you have to be put yourself in Meghan Markle's shoes, she's a whole ass royal out here, but...
Is she anymore? She's really not.
I guess she's out here. Yeah. She's trying to like get some security. It's absolutely wild. Is it worth it? Let me work here. But yeah.
Flip it and reverse it. It's your friend.
But yeah, I mean, it's tough because there's so many variables that could be going on. But what's your initial reaction to that? Is it worth it?
I first want to say that I'm just really pleased that we finally found a use for Tyler Perry.
Stop it!
You're trash. Tyler Perry has done lots for the black community. I can't say what it is and the value of it. But he's done a lot.
Don't be so rude.
Keep your voice down.
Nah.
I think providing security for the whole royals, you know. Wow.
That part.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting one. I very much do not want to lean into this idea that I'm, and I think the tweet sort of speaks to it pretty directly, I'm doing diversity and inclusion consultant at the dinner table on Sunday over, you know, roast chicken and potatoes and whatever. I'm not keen on that idea. I also don't think that people are their parents. Mm-hmm. And so I think the question really comes down for me, it will turn on, well, then how do you relate to your family or the people that you've met? Are they sort of core to your life? Someone you spend a lot of time, people that you spend a lot of time with and that kind of stuff. Because if that's the case, well, then maybe it's going to be really difficult for me. Yeah. But if it's like you grew up in a mad environment, or you didn't even necessarily grow up in a mad environment, you just have come to appreciate that some of the views that people in your family have, are a big no. And you're dealing with that accordingly by also not, you know, not indulging that and not insisting that I, as your partner, spend a lot of time around them, then I might be more willing to, you know, entertain the idea of dating, you know, staying in a relationship with someone who has you know, that context. But I think what's core to all of that is I am not doing unpaid labor.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think about it also in the fact, like, similar to what I said before, when people are kind of like, oh, you two should date because you're both black.
Mm.
I think that, like, if the only difference between me and your family is the fact that my skin color is different, I don't, like, that is, you're just really telling, like, you're telling on yourself in that you can't, like, I just can't get past the fact that people can look past everything else that you are. Mm. That makes you who you are beyond your skin color and can just decide on that. Like, that to me is kind of like, well, you're boring then. Like, I think that goes back to, like, even the conversation that we were having before of sort of like people, like, you know, when you'd ask, like, why hadn't I dated a black man, like, seriously, things like that. I think it comes back in some ways, like, and this is across the board, that I can't deal with people who try and box me into who they think I should be based on the way that I look.
Yeah.
That's a you problem. Like, I can exist beyond, like, your perception of black, who, like, what a black woman should be. And that's for, you know, black and non-black folk. I think I'm allowed to be who I am. And if you can't or don't like that, then that's on you. And I'll find someone who is interested in me.
Yeah, I love that. And I like your point, Adj, about, like, how as black people we're multifaceted beings. Like, what? We also out here like anime. We like TikTok, you know, we like cool clothes, we like different kinds of music. Ah, let us live. What? Something about the Ashley Graham article just really got me thinking. And Kelechi Okafor did a really good article in response to this. I'm not sure what platform it was on. I guess people maybe during this whole Meghan and Harry situation, maybe reflecting on their family and their parents. You can be in a whole ass white family and be shocked that your family may be anti-black. Do you have any insights about that? And also, I find it interesting that people, I guess, clue onto it when it involves them and their partner. But before, when it was on TV, sorry, when someone was on TV and your family was racist or whatever it might be, somehow it didn't click on for you then. I have, honestly, my grace with this is actually quite low, I'm not going to lie. But I would love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
I have an answer that is something that I'll talk about all the time. And I think it's an answer that I'll give to this question that extends beyond, like, romantic relationships.
Yeah.
Racism has been made into this, like, anomalous thing where unless somebody's yelling at you, calling you a monkey or saying something about Asian folk that's, like, really overtly racist, I think that is their bar for racism. And when, even though we're constantly saying it's microaggression, it's this, it's that, people still don't get it. And so they're surrounded by this, you know, as Eamon said, racism in genes, like the casual racism that, you know, is microaggression and, you know, saying that people are taking our jobs and that sort of thing. That doesn't meet their threshold of what is considered racism when it is and always has been racism. And I think it goes to a broader conversation of, like, listening to people who experience racism when they tell you what racism is. It's not your job to decide what is and what wasn't racist. Your parents have always been racist. You just haven't clued into it, or you haven't been listening to the people who are actually telling you what it is. I think that's the simple fact. There's a lack of understanding around what racism is, how it operates, and how it infiltrates every single part of your life, whether you are racialized or not. And I think, to me, that's, like, the main fact of the matter. And now that you can see it playing out and you have someone who's your personal spokesperson telling you, and you have a vested interest in seeing people protected against racism, then you're able to move on from that fact. I know my threshold is also quite low for it, and I think it makes things quite hard, whether in romantic relationships or friendships, because you have to tell people that you're not the expert in this. And I don't, like, even though, you know, the world that we live in, white people have always defined what is race and what is racism, we need to move beyond that, because we know that they define the term in a way that makes them seem better. It allows them to get away with things and continue doing what they've always done in every aspect of life. I think that's what it comes back to. There's just a fundamental misunderstanding of what it is.
Absolutely.
I also think that there, and we've seen it in this, the Harry and Meghan situation after the Oprah interview, this obsession with being labelled racist as like the bigger focus than actually the experience of racism and its impacts. Mm. And I suspect that feeds into it as well. Like people are shook if they think that, X person is racist or did something that is racist. And I tend to lean into the latter one. But yeah, often it's like, whoa, we saw it in the Harry and Meghan situation where there was a lot of criticism of them for not being really clear about who was the person who asked about the colouring of the baby. Because without being specific about who it was, then it's casting aspersions, you know, across the whole sort of institution. And the point is, should be the impact on them, not who said it and when was it said, and was it said in a way that was, oh, was it really a joke? Or do they mean it like that? No, babes, none of it can run. The takeaway from this experience should be, here is the impact. It was serious and it was grave for both of them, and particularly for Meghan in this context. And so let's all do a little bit better about unpicking the things that lead to that kind of thinking, rather than a desire to say, well, it was, John Doe on the 24th of June, 2017, who said at 1:42 p.m. XYZ, we've now identified that that was the racist thing rather than the broader context, which allows for that to be, those comments to be made.
Yes. Amazing insights with both of you, like, honestly. And I think I want to tie into sort of like just shifting onto some things are for the group chat only, but anyway, I'll just people should know.
Didn't
that.
You sign? Didn't you sign a confidentiality agreement, an NDA, when you joined that group chat?
Yeah, but I was talking about the phenomenon that I saw, and it was people putting BLM in their bios, right? So it'd be
which shocked Jack, me, because I've honestly never seen that.
I've seen
never.
And you know, on Bumble, it'd be like Jack 26 Brunswick AFL BLM, and like a little hand next to it, the white one. So yeah. And also it was a thing last year when, you know, Black Lives Matter resurged, people were putting in their bios BLM, like a lot of influencers, a lot of companies, a lot of performative activism, etc. And I'm sort of wondering if you've experienced people, again, I don't know people's individual journey, and again, I like your points both about looking at things in context and also inviting people to be and do better. And we're also all trying to be better all the time. We're not perfect in any capacity, right? But have you experienced people trying to prove their social awareness to you, trying to prove that they get racism, they understand anti-blackness, that they are, I hate the word, but woke to you because you're black? And also it's a big thing with friends, but I'm curious as to like romantic partners, if you've experienced that.
I had went on a date with someone. And I'm ashamed to say that I saw him a couple of times after, and he sat there and explained implicit and explicit racism to me. Oh. Firstly, I was like, I'm an arts grad, so I know this. Secondly, I'm black. Like, I was like, not you from the Shire telling me what racism is. I know you know what it is because you might have seen the Cronulla riots. I don't need this history lesson right now. And it's just sort of like, what do you have to gain from it? Because it's only for your personal gain, right? I think that's the point that I'm trying to make here amongst that story. It's sort of like when you center yourself in those conversations, that says a lot about what your actual goal is and your motives behind it. It's to placate your, you know, guilt or whatever it is, but that's not my job. Once again, you're telling on yourself because it's sort of like, I see through that. It's not about you, and it's about you decentering yourself and saying as an actual ally. And I say that with quotation marks because I find that term very problematic. And we've already discussed this, Nana. Like, it's about you taking yourself out of the situation and thinking about what, you know, what you can do to support them. And in some cases it's asking, are you okay? And, you know, taking the leading cues from them in how you proceed forward. But like just coming to me and like having a black square, or whatever, it means nothing if you're just not going to show up when it's needed.
Yeah. Bury that.
Yeah. I've come across it.
No, I just like correct. I don't know what else to say. Absolutely.
It's a whole sentence. Yep. Yeah. I've come across this, you know, seeing BLM or like, I generally find it utterly underwhelming. And I don't care. Because I don't think a marker like that indicates much other than the fact that you were on Twitter in 2020 around July when George Floyd was murdered. That's all it tells me. And so, and also like, it's interesting when people see engaging or dating someone black as like their social justice exercise.
Yes.
Like, I'm also on a learning journey. So if you have BLM in your profile, maybe what we should do together, let's go work out how we're going to lean into, the very real issues that exist in our local context. Cool, we can do that together. We can learn how to be better people together. But if the idea is that, you know, you've got that in your profile and somehow it's going to, you know, ingratiate just, you know, you and your profile onto me, please swipe the incorrect way. Is it left? I think it is. Swipe left, don't you?
I don't mean knowing. No, that's such a good point about we have also work to do. And I think it makes me think about two points. One, the burden of people thinking that you should be teaching them. And then secondly, kind of the social currency that comes with dating somebody Black, especially if you're somebody in social justice circles and all of us just we're not here to do diversity and inclusion consulting and or be teaching full time because we also are doing our own learning and also want to learn too from other people that we are around. Let's go and read the actual academics and activists who are literally on the ground, Indigenous folks who are holding down on country. How do you feel about the fetishization of being in an interracial couple, specifically with a white person? And of course that goes into your children, people wanting your child to be a certain brown complexion with curly hair, even though they can come out any shade, boo-boo. They can come out as dark as me. And what are you going to do then? That's what I got to say about that. You mentioned before that you can weed it out. What are some things that you do to weed out if you're being fetishized?
I think the theme of today is people really just like to tell on themselves. they will come to you and they will just be like, oh, you know, I love insert attribute, big booties.
Yeah, it's wild.
They'll come up with the weirdest stuff and I don't know, you just have a radar for it. I think when I was younger, I didn't really clock it so easily, but people just kind of will say something. You're just like, well, that just feels wrong to me.
As Aj said, people tell on themselves. I have screenshots. I used to have a folder on my old iPhone before I decided to do better. Screenshots of people who would begin the conversation with, I've never hooked up with a Black guy before, or is it true Black guys have big dicks? Or, you know, a few words into the conversation, saying something along those lines, and it's like, are you not tired?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, and maybe I'll send some so you can include it in the show reel or something. So, you know, in those scenarios, they're telling themselves straight away and it's a very easy block, or telling them to go suck their mum. Next, we have those who are a little bit more subtle and it'll come up later in conversation. So the ones who will start telling you that, you know, when you've maybe gone on a few dates and whatever, and then, you know, you start talking about previous dating experiences and then they suddenly drop the last four boyfriends were all Black and you're like,
ooh. You're like, oh.
Talk to me about that. Let's unpick. Let us unpack.
Yeah.
Those ones exist. And they're, I guess, a little bit trickier because it is entirely possible that, you know, they just met four really great Black men in a short period of time. You know, when you just try, if I just... trying to find a way. Yeah.
How do we make this math? It's not mathing right now, but we're gonna get there.
We're gonna try. Yeah.
People coming in with AAVE, yo girl, what's up? And I'm like, who do you talk like that all the time? Because I don't think you do.
And I don't even talk like that, so I don't know why you're trying it.
Exactly. I used to just, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. And they're like, oh, hey, how you going? I'm like, oh, that's what you're trying to say. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Because I grew up in Sydney, so with migrant parents too.
And I think the final one is those who, you've gone on a few dates, maybe proceeded to the dating stage. And then, I don't know, there might be a time when they're a little bit buzzed, a bit faded, feeling a bit cute, the music's hitting right, and you know, get up and whisper in your ear, you're my chocolate bit. And you're like, sorry? Sorry?
Oh, yeah, my mocha frappuccino princess.
Well, they send you chocolate bar emojis.
Someone said to me, is it bad if I tell you that you look like a block of Cadbury chocolate and I just want to eat it up? I was like, yes, I'm lactose intolerant. Go away. Wearing full-scented cocoa butter just to trip people up.
Give them their toes. I love how you've got the categories, Eamon. That's amazing. You broke it down.
Yeah.
I mean, you both, at the beginning, Azure was like, I hate the apps. And then Eamon was kind of like, yeah, I'd be on there sometimes, but like not really. And dating is kind of what it is. As you currently stand right now, how do you feel about dating and like what's your dating approach moving forward this year? Is it going to be nothing? Is it going to be maybe you'll dabble here and there? I'm personally curious.
I have no faith in the app system. Like, okay. It's just, I don't know, like everyone is kind of in this place. I don't know if it's like post 2020, everyone's kind of really more disillusioned than they were and that sort of thing. But I just am finding that it's just so, like the apps are just so dry. And like people just want one thing. So I'm just going into it, trying to be a little bit more honest and whatever. But maybe I'm on a bit of a break at the moment. I'm just kind of not being serious. But all I'm saying is I'm begrudgingly on the apps, mostly because my parents are like so obsessed with, they're like, you should never date anyone. And now I'm like 27. They're like, why aren't you married yet? What's going on?
Yeah.
We'll see.
What about you, A?
I think that, well, it's funny. My old boss told me a few months ago before I finished up at my last job that she thinks I'm emotionally unavailable. So I mean, maybe she's answered the question for me. But no, seriously, I think that I do think this is too much. My sort of position on a lot of this is just like I'm open to the world and what the world brings me. And sometimes when I'm bored and have spare time, maybe I'll, you know, swipe left, right occasionally, mainly to pass time. But I'm not desperate to find something because I'm really happy doing me. And I actually think that there's an unreasonable amount of pressure to, you know, find someone and, you know, jump into a relationship and that kind of stuff. And I think particularly like, I really feel sorry and with great respect, thoughts and prayers to my straight friends who I feel like have a particular pressure to do that kind of shit. If something I really love about being queer, it's that it's in some sense a bit of a blank canvas, and relationships can take many forms, or you can just choose not to. It's a little bit more acceptable, and I really enjoy that. So, you know, great. If I meet someone who's cool and we vibe, that's fantastic. I'm definitely not, you know, waiting by my phone for a message to come through. I'm living my best life, and it'll be what it'll be.
That's a beautiful place to end it. And thank you for your thoughts and prayers as somebody who is in the hetero ghetto. I really appreciate that.
There's a book that's come out recently. I've forgotten the name, but I'll send it to you after this. It's about how heterosexual couples should be queering their relationships and how like the only way that anybody can find some real joy in them is if there are some queer aspects to their relationship. So yeah, that seems quite interesting.
Well, all I'm saying is if you're going to start borrowing our ideas, I expect some payment, please. Yeah.
Yes.
Remuneration, please. And maybe some reparations.
So, but yeah, honestly, queer theory has been ahead of the game. Like,
yeah.
But thank you so much to Eamon and Ad. It has been such a joy to just chat and just, you've both been so honest. You told us stories. We got tea. It was spilt. You've been so specific in how you've described things. You've been helpful, but you've also gone big picture too and given us like structure, context, systems, which I always appreciate, and all of that anchored in vulnerability and just doing you, being you, showing your sores. So thank you so much again. I hope that you have also enjoyed your triumphant return to the pod.
Let's just pretend that Adj and Eamon are saying bye right now, because I have no idea what happened to the end of that audio clip, but we move. I had so much fun in this conversation and I hope that you enjoyed it too. If you'd like to keep in touch and keep up with the podcast, you can find me at The Subtlety of It on social media, links in the description. That's it. This has been The Subtlety of It. My name is You know the drill, no dates, bish, but I think I'll actually be back a bit sooner. You know, I do have a lot of episodes in the archives that I cannot wait to share. So I hope to speak to you soon. And in the meantime, please take care. Bye.